Commentator Nima Avashia was a teacher in Boston's public schools for 19 years.
I love my students and I was devoted to the work, but it was all consuming. Most days, my car was the last one in the parking lot at the end of the day, and the same went for my partner, who's also a teacher. When we sat down for dinner at night, we struggled to find energy for each other, having exhausted most of our emotions on the young people in our school buildings.
Then, a few years ago, the challenges Nima once thought of as obstacles to be overcome started to feel more like brick walls.
I used to find tremendous joy in my job, but that joy had become more ephemeral, more elusive. I was less able to muster the energy required in the classroom. I felt like my body was failing me.
And for the first time, Nima began to take the concept of rest more seriously. Here's her reflection.
I come from a family of people who only operate in one gear, and that gear is drive. My parents never stop moving. When they aren't working, they're exercising. When they aren't exercising, they're traveling. When they aren't traveling, they're entertaining. You see the pattern. I've come to understand this way of living as an exercise in survival. My parents were Indian immigrants to Appalachia. They lived an extremely minoritized existence. There was no safety net but for the one they were building through their constant movement. And for nearly two decades, I fashioned my life and my career after my parents. I worked incessantly. My to-do list as a teacher was unending. There was always another lesson to plan, a paper to grade, a parent to contact. There were inequities to fight, problems to solve. I threw myself into that work. For the first 15 years of my career, I functioned at full speed. But eventually, something started to shift. In 2018, the city decided it wanted to close my school. Soon after, the precious green space around our building was gobbled up by developers. Then the pandemic arrived, and we were left to fend for ourselves. I started to realize that if I didn't look out for myself, no one else would. Then a friend recommended a book to me, Wintering by Catherine May. In the book, May writes about her own experience with crashing into the proverbial wall.
Wintering is my term for a period in life when we're frozen, cast out in the cold, those times when the ground seems to drop beneath us for whatever reason. It's this incredibly painful time when we feel very isolated and cut off, and when we lose hope.
My upbringing taught me that these emotions were simply something to push through, but May argues the opposite. In a period of wintering, the best thing we can do is winter. The notion of slowing down, rather than pushing through, felt like a salve. I tried to take it to heart, asking to work part-time for the following school year. With my extra time, I went for walks around Jamaica Pond every morning, even on the coldest days. I let my spare time expand, and I pushed away feelings of guilt that I wasn't doing enough. But come spring, I had a choice to make: re-enter the classroom full-time or find other work. As I considered returning to the intensity of teaching all day, my body revolted. From somewhere inside came a full-throated no. I wasn't ready, nor willing, to abandon the additional grace and humanity I had extended to myself. In one of the most difficult decisions I've ever made, I decided not to return to the classroom this fall. Instead, I'm supporting other teachers in their work. We must emerge slowly from our wintering, May writes. We must gradually unfurl our new leaves. I'll be thinking for a long time about the relationship between rest and humanity.